This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the sixth day of October 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, Kurt Kimmel. And a bit later in the program, the folks from the Andersons will be here to take up the cash grain market and movement, or in this case, probably not so very much movement, of farm equipment across central Illinois, trying to bring in the 2014 corn and soybean harvest. And then, as we wrap up our time together, we'll look at the weather forecast and see how quickly harvest will resume in our part of the world. That with Mark Russo at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois, right here on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for this Monday afternoon. December corn today up 9 1/4 cents at 332.5. The March at 345 1/4, 9 higher. The May at 353 3/4, up 8 3/4 for the day. In July up 9 cents at $3.61 3/4. September futures 396, or rather 369 3/4, up 9 for next year. And December contract of next year 9 cents higher, $3.80 1/2. From the soy complex, bean futures up 30 cents. It's $9.42 1/4. January at 9.50 1/2. The March at 9.58 1/4, up 29 3/4. The May at 9.64 1/2, up 29. And July up 28 1/2 at $9.69 3/4. Next year's November, 26 1/4 cents higher at $9.60 1/4. I don't think I told you what the January had gained. It was actually up 30 cents for the day. Bean meal futures up $12.30 at $320.30 a ton. And the bean oil at $33.32 1.03 higher. Soft red winter wheat at $5.20 3/4 cents. For the July contract, up 7 cents. That's the harvest month. And the hard red at $5.74 3/4, up 8 1/4. From the livestock, October live cattle up 50 cents at $162.90. The December futures there up 27 1/2 at $166.15. Feeder cattle lead option down $1.07 1/2 at $239.80, that is. November there at 240, and a nickel down 92 1/2 cents. And lean hogs on the day at $107.17 1/2, were $1.57 1/2 higher. This, of course, is the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. The crude oil, that is, up 65 cents at $90.40 for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.62 1/10 on the afternoon. That finished unchanged. Gasoline was up 3 4/10 cents at $2.41 3/10 cents. And natural gas for the day at $3.90 1/2 was 13 1/2 cents lower on the afternoon. Also, the ethanol futures for the day, the final trade, is at 3 cents higher at $1.53. From the financials, Dow Jones Industrial Average at 16,923. That's just 2 points higher. And the gold futures at about $1,207, up $14. The dollar index at 86.04 is down 0.78 on the day. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. As it comes from the National Weather Service, for the Urbana-Champaign area today, a slight chance of showers, some thunderstorms. Those will come after 3 in the afternoon, mostly sunny, a high of 63 degrees on a west-southwest wind at about 16 miles an hour. That will gust to 21. Chance of rainfall set at just 20% for the afternoon. Tonight, a 30% chance of showers after 4 in the morning. Partly cloudy and a low of 47 degrees, and then that chance of rainfall will increase as we make our way into Tuesday morning to 40% chance. After 1 in the afternoon, cloudy, gradually becoming mostly sunny, a high of 68 degrees on a southwest wind at 9 to 13, and Tuesday night clear with a low of 45 degrees. Wednesday, sunny skies and 66. Wednesday night, a 40% chance of showers, partly cloudy and 47. And on Thursday, showers likely, mostly cloudy, a high of just 61 degrees. Chance of rainfall on Thursday set at 60%. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour right here on Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is the 6th day of October, 2014. I am going to take just a few minutes here for myself and talk to you about my father. He passed away yesterday morning at about 10 minutes to the hour of 7 o'clock at his home on the farm in Elkhart. I was lucky enough to be beside him at that point. I've been doing some care, and so have my brothers, for the last 6 months. Dad suffered from congestive heart failure, so this is not a surprise. But we were working really hard to come in with kind of a soft landing there on the farm, if we could, Friday afternoon. In fact, just before I went on the air, Brother Rob called and said, "Dad has suffered a pretty good setback. You should come in again." And I'd been doing this anyway since mid-August, spending time with him over the entirety of the weekend, leaving after we were finished on Friday afternoon, and coming back late Sunday evening after making sure Dad got safely into bed. He's been at the farm the whole time. And so Friday night, all the Gleasons gathered there at Dad's house on the farm. And when I say all of us, almost all of us, around, 25 to 40 of us, we threw a party with Dad there. He was with us. And when I say with us, he truly, I think, managed to be with us through a good part of that. It's a little odd because I think in the end, and I just can't say this is really true, but as some parts of the body start to shut down. Because he had congestive heart failure, he just didn't have a lot of oxygen flow, so his mind wandered sometimes. I think there was more oxygen going to his brain with the shutdown of some of those organs, and so he was with us more than you might think. And he just had a ball, I'm pretty certain, being there with us and knowing that we as a family were together, celebrating him, and really just having a party. My gosh, it was fun. Anytime we all get together, it was fun. But it truly was fun. We had a party on Friday night. We had a party again on Saturday night. Everybody showed up for a second time. Some more people on Saturday night that weren't there on Friday night. Different sets. 25 to 40 of us again. And then overnight Saturday, I went upstairs, went to sleep. Brother Bill's wife, Mary, and Bill's the oldest of the six boys, texted me about, actually it was 5:38 in the morning, woke me up, said, "Hey, I'm awake, can I come down and spend some time with Dad?" And I said, "Why not?" I was there, and she came down, we turned on some really nice music, and Dad loved to dance. It was a little big band coming in on the Dish Network. And honestly, you know, I didn't know when Dad would leave us, but that morning apparently was the time, and Mary and I were just sitting there having coffee in the morning with Dad, and there was one last breath. We waited for a while, and Dad departed. It's not too bad a way to go out, frankly. I have had just a ball talking to you about him on the air. You know that he went with us on the first Follow the Corn trip down to see Dan Zwicker in New Orleans. That was an experience and a half. You've seen him on the Will Ag website because he and I went on the Honor Flight, not in May of this year, but the previous year. I've talked about him for years going out and golfing. He golfed earlier in the year. The last time he did 36 holes was in March, and then we sort of ratcheted down from April to July, but we had him out as late as, I think, mid-July on the golf course. And so it was a good life. It was a good life. He was a mentor to all of us, my brothers and myself, and so many other people. I hope that you might see a lot of him in me. You know, the great-grandkids call him Great One. Frankly, that sums up my father. He will be sorely missed. It was soft landing at the end. His funeral and visitation are this week in Lincoln. Should be posted into the News Gazette, the Pantograph, the State Journal Register, the Lincoln Courier, and if you're north in the Princeton area, the Bureau County Republican. My brother Jay lives up in that area. We will have a visitation at Fricky Calvert Schrader in Lincoln, Illinois from 4 to 7 on Wednesday of this week. Burial is, of course, in Elkhart, Illinois. That's at 10 a.m. At St. Patrick's. And thank you so much for spending so much time with Dad right here on the air with me, because I love him dearly, dearly. And he will be so very, very missed. And I just appreciate the fact that you all think so much of him, too. And I know you do. I know you do because I get asked so many times when I'm out. How's Dad? How's your dad? It's really great that we're all together, and that the farm community, the agricultural community, you, the listeners who listen in the afternoon that don't often understand what I have to say about the marketplace. You don't quite get that, and I know it's a foreign language, but you listen anyway. Dad was, I hope, kind of a part of WILL, and that you will miss him as well.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now, it is a Monday afternoon. This is the sixth day of October. Let's turn our attention now to the marketplace. Kurt Kimmel from Bates Commodities out of Normal joins us. Good afternoon, Kurt. Thanks for being with us.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. We're sorry to hear about your loss. On behalf of our fellow brokers, analysts, and listeners, I must say that our hearts, prayers, and thoughts are with you. It's always difficult when we lose a loved one that's very close. But I must say that Dad will live on through yourself and your family, and let the Dad stories begin. I'm quite sure you have a few of them to tell.
I have two to tell right now. Let me tell you one. I think those who follow my Twitter account probably saw it was August the 3rd that I had gone out and taken a field count in front of Dad's, and I didn't say how much that field was going to make at the time, but I told Dad that it was 240 to 270, someplace in that range, and he just looked at me. Dad was a really good businessman, and he hasn't been involved in the farm for a long time, and sometimes he was thinking we were back in 2002. But he looked at me and he said, "Oh, if it's going to make that much, I'd better sell some." The corn was 370 then, so so not a bad call on his part, I think. Not too bad a call. All right, so today, wow, what a thing to happen today. Corn rally, beans rally. What's the deal here?
Oh, not the normal. It's a nice change for a change, for say. But, you know, wet forecast over last week and this week here, dry forecast in the southern hemisphere. Coffee went through the roof and promoting the idea that northern Brazil area might be a little more drier than what we thought. Also, too, weather-wise, a little cold air up in the Dakotas. Then, lastly, the U.S. dollar taking a fairly good dip here today, sort of gave encouragement. Maybe this dollar has topped and trend lower here to spur some export activity. But the main thing that really happened today, I believe, was the technical action. We've seen the trend just continue to be lower, 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 lower here. And as we moved lower here, we consolidated and we received some buy signals on some of these technical programs, and the funds were active buyers through the day. Going into the noon hour, they were buyers up of 11,000 contracts of corn, 9,000 contracts of bean, 4,000 wheat, 6,000 oil, and about 3,500 meal contracts. And with the slowdown in harvest activity here over the weekend, there just was not a whole lot of hedge pressure to offset that buying interest from the commodity funds, Todd.
Can you contrast that with later in the week when farmers might start to get in the field, at least in other parts of the Midwest, maybe not quite in central Illinois, and then with the WASDE report that's due out at 11 o'clock on Friday morning and what the hazards are?
Well, I have a sneaky feeling that, we could see some follow through here, and then my typical answer would be Wayne's going to have a turnaround Tuesday, maybe. But Dease corn, 335, was kind of a hope number to look for. November beans is 950 area. We'll see how the market handles that. You know, as a producer, if you have some inventory to maybe move in through here, I know basis is just falling apart, might want to consider a hedge up at these higher levels and get a little downside protection in case we do see that report Friday show a little negative news. There's debate on the acres and yield and demand, so Friday morning could be quite interesting market-wise.
Hey, thanks so much, and I appreciate you being with us today.
Very good. Take care, Todd.
Mm-hmm. That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Now here's Dave Dickey with today's agricultural news.
Oregon voters will go to the polls once again to consider whether to require foods sold in the state that contain biotech ingredients to be labeled as such. In 2002, Oregon was the first state to vote on genetically engineered food labels, a measure that was defeated. Supporters and opponents of the proposition are arguing about what the cost of labeling might be. A study commissioned by Consumers Union and released last week concluded that food costs would increase about $2.30 per person per year as a result of GMO labeling. Those claims differ from those made by labeling opponents, who say that passing the measure would drive up grocery costs by hundreds of dollars per family per year. California's law governing the conditions under which chicken cages must be kept if their eggs are to be sold within the state last week survived a legal challenge from six states that argued their producers would be unable to sell eggs in California. A U.S. District Court judge ruled that the states lacked standing to sue California because the lawsuit was aimed only at protecting their egg producers, not their citizens. The states argued that the hen housing standards, which apply to out-of-state as well as California farms and takes effect in January, will drive up costs for farms and may create a price-depressing glut of eggs. A group of 29 agriculture interest groups have asked the U.S. Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration to change course on an ethanol crude tank car safety rule. It comes at a time when U.S. farmers are expected to harvest a record corn crop, and as U.S. oil production continues to grow, potentially clogging up rail traffic in the coming years. The proposal comes after a series of high-profile derailments and explosions. The ag groups asked the agency to reconsider proposed railway speed restriction options and to reconsider modifying a proposed schedule for retrofitting or replacing the nearly 30,000 ethanol tank cars that are currently in service. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Brian Todd Gleason calling. Can you do our program this afternoon? I'm ready. Hang on. Here we go. Well, of course, you're listening to the program here on WOLL. I forgot I had my mic on. And Brian Stark is on the from the Andersons is on the phone line to talk about the marketplace. Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm good, Todd. How are you?
Well, other than I left my microphone on while I was making the phone call to you, I'm okay. Hey, are you busy today there?
Yeah, we've picked up this afternoon. Obviously, a little bit of rain early this morning, but a tenth or two didn't amount to slowing guys down. So at it again.
Yeah, that's earlier than I suspected. I guess not, you know, 3 inches of rainfall last week, and I suppose it. They got out of it. Hopefully, they don't get stuck out there too quickly. What's the moisture coming in on the corn like?
Roughly, we've been seeing anywhere from 18 to 20% on average, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said corn coming in. I think beans, obviously, with the late rain, probably won't be ready till the middle of this week again.
I would think not. So how's basis holding up today?
Basis actually is as steady from where it was last week. Obviously, we saw the processors fade here a little bit in the last week to 2 weeks. The one note I will make is that we're starting to see, because of the rain, a little bit of an appreciation in the processor bean basis, which doesn't surprise me at this stage of the game, given the fact that the extended forecast calls for rain, it seems like, every week here the next couple.
Did the market for corn follow it up today? And do you think there will be follow-through in either the corn or the bean market at the Board of Trade?
That's a good question. I think part of the big news, obviously, beans leading the charge with some hot and dry weather in northern Brazil,
right,
coupled with the wet weather we see in the next couple of weeks for the U.S., hard to follow through, I think, on much substantial moves, given we've got a major crop report out Friday. So I would say that the market would probably at least hold these gains, maybe a little bit more here this week, but I'm not looking for any big extended rally.
Any guesses on your part about acreage or yields for the crop report?
Well, I think the yields, I think most people expect them to go up. The acreage is the wild card, and, you know, unless you buy into the FSA data, and it's hard to gauge a good estimate if we're going to be a couple million acres lower in corn or a million acres lower in beans, partly because of the extended deadline they gave producers to file until the end of December. So it puts a little bit of more of a wild card into Friday's acreage numbers.
I was thinking, but maybe I am just wrong, that this harvest season might start to extend out because of the rainfall. Though if you're getting corn in today, I could very well be wrong. And I was guessing that bases might hold up a little better over the long run. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think basis could surprise. I never thought, even with the big crop, given the demand that ethanol commands on a monthly basis, for it to really fall out of bed like we've been accustomed to back in 04, 09. It's gotten weaker, but the interruptions, one, solves a little bit of the logistical problems you deal with if we don't have a wide open window. That helps and doesn't allow basis to get as cheap as people would expect. So weather will have a lot to do with it moving forward, but to your point, it's probably also going to drag it out. The good thing compared to 09 is that the crop has dried down, so we may just be extended not because of the drier capacity issues we saw back then, but mainly just because of wet weather.
Anybody complaining much about down corn?
Not yet, but I have heard some people talking about weak stock, and I think that is an issue that's not surprising either, given the fact that we had really good conditions, and I'm sure the plant put a lot of energy into making really big ears, to some extent 2 years found out there. So there is some stock quality issues, but nothing I've heard wide open where guys are really overly concerned yet.
And the export market looks like it's hanging in there quite nicely for the beginning of the year, too.
It is. Exports have been pretty good up to this point. It'll be interesting to see if corn exports will remain strong moving forward, given China obviously not probably going to import as much as they have the last couple of years. And where are we going to be able to compete when the dollar, as strong as it's been since basically the stock report and the acreage report at the end of June?
I'll let you go.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, thanks so much, Brian. That's Brian Stark of the Andersons.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Noodle Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1790, Jacob Schwepp demonstrated his process for making artificial mineral water. A German silversmith, he promoted Joseph Black's process of creating carbonic acid gas by combining chalk with sulfuric acid and then adding the gas to water under pressure. Artificial mineral waters were thought to have medicinal properties. It was not until the 1800s that CO2 was used for soft drinks like ginger ale and Coca-Cola. In 1893, cream of wheat was developed by Nabisco Foods. Millers in North Dakota, battling an economic depression, were looking to revive their business. The head miller, Thomas Admaden, convinced his partners to make a porridge out of farina, and cream of wheat was born. In 1851, Will Keith Kellogg died. He founded the Battle Creek Toasted Corn Flake Company to manufacture cereals developed by his brother, John Harvey Kellogg. And in 1997, prions were discovered. They were called an entirely new gene of disease-causing agents. Prions have been identified as a cause of mad cow disease. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report for the 6th day of October. It's a Monday. We always talk with the guys up at Earth Risk Technologies in Chicago, Illinois. And Mark Russo joins us today. Mark, tell me about the rainfall that came Thursday, Friday. What happened over the weekend and how quickly farmers might be able to get it into the field. It looks like a pretty good rain delay at this point to me.
Yeah, well, Todd, we saw quite a variety of precip totals over the weekend and ending last week. Some of your higher totals in excess of an inch and a half or 2 inches were confined to areas of central Illinois, northwest and west central Indiana, and then across northern half or so of Missouri. So that was really the epicenter of wetness, and thus the area is likely seeing the most significant delays, especially here in the central parts of Illinois, Indiana, and adjacent areas of Missouri. As you go further to the north, though, areas of Iowa, even southern Minnesota, got more so into that kind of the half to one and a quarter inch range, likely causing some delays, but again, not as much here as central Illinois adjacent areas.
Will they be delayed this week?
Don't think so. In fact, we do not see much in the way of precip here coming up at least over the next several days here from now and into the end of next week and into the end of this week. However, that will be changing as we do see rain activity beginning to pick up again by the end of this week, kind of into Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. In fact, there's going to be a zone of unsettled conditions here that will be aligned primarily across the southern half of the Midwest and into the Delta, again, coming up over the upcoming, late this week and over the upcoming weekend. So at least for some areas, particularly areas of southern Illinois, southern Indiana, Missouri, that's the area that will continue to see at least some more delays after the next several days.
This really only matters for comfort levels a bit for drying conditions in part of central Illinois, I suppose. But how cold will the temperatures be?
Well, quite a bit of variability here coming up. It looks like at least the coldest is behind us from what was observed over the weekend, where we did see 30s here across the heart of the Midwest. As we look ahead here, again, a lot of variability, but no additional, at least similar looking cold shots as what was observed here over the weekend. And overall, maybe a slight cooler bias. So minimum temperature is generally in the 40s, high temperatures while climbing 60s and 70s after you get past today. Again, no sign of any significant cold shots like what we saw here in recent days.
Your view of the South American weather at this time?
Well, you're beginning to turn drier across areas of Brazil. That includes Mato Grosso down to Paraná, eastward to Goiás. That area did pick up rainfall back in September, and so at least that's allowing some planning to be accomplished. But with drier than normal and warmer than normal conditions prevailing at least over the next couple of weeks, that could result in at least some planning delays here in some of your driest areas. And so the next window of opportunity we feel for seeing an increase in rain activity is during the final 7 to 8 days of the month.
Mark Russo is with Earth Risk Technologies. I'm Todd Gleason.